I, and those of my ilk, have spent the past several months devoting millions of words to what will happen on Tuesday, November 6th, which is understandable. Some of us have been counting off the days since the 2016 election like a prisoner scratching marks on the wall of his cell. That has led to a desperate tone to much of the commentary, as we try to get the disinterested masses to care. If not as much as we do, then at least enough to vote. But I'm not sure what could be said now that would be in the least bit different. And, if the reports from the Secretary of State's office are correct, many of you listening to this have already voted. And so, I turn my attention instead to what happens on Wednesday, November 7th. I suspect the results will be very different at the county, state, and federal levels. At the county level, better days are ahead. After meeting with all six candidates running for the three county commission seats, I'm confident that the county will be in good hands no matter who wins. While those are partisan races, the county campaigns have been much more respectful and issues-based. Polls suggest a return to one-party rule at the state level after 8 years of a Republican governor and Democratic legislature. That would certainly end the unyielding gridlock and vindictive vetoes of bills that had been passed unanimously. But one-party rule concerns me, even when I tend to agree with that party. A new Democratic governor, combined with a Democratic legislature, and with the added sweetener of an estimated $1.2 billion in new money, could be a recipe for budget-busting excess. Fortunately, the Senate Finance Committee has always served to check such excessive spending. If Michelle Lujan Grisham wins, she will come into office with a very specific roadmap for how she intends to govern. If she sticks to that, we should be just fine. The real problems November 7th will be at the national level. Not surprising, given that as I write this, police are interrogating the guy who sent pipe bombs in the mail to those on Donald Trump's enemies list. Horrible as that is, and tragic as it could have been, it almost seems like an appropriate ending to this campaign. The race for New Mexico's 2nd Congressional District has been an example of what's been happening in all the national races. The two fairly new candidates here have been defined in relentlessly negative ads paid by national political campaign committees, drowning out any attempts by the candidates to introduce themselves on their own terms. We're told that Democrat Xochitl Torres-Small is a foot soldier for Nancy Pelosi, who wants to raise taxes, end oil production in New Mexico, and take over our health care. Republican Yvette Harrell is painted as an untrustworthy opportunist working the system to line her own pockets with shady deals. These messages have been repeated so often, they have become the narrative of the campaign. If polls are right again, we will get a Democratic House and a Republican Senate, bringing us 2 solid years of campaigning instead of governing. And I, and those of my ilk, will devote millions of words as to what will happen on November 3rd, 2020. It's just 739 scratch marks away. With this week's commentary, I'm Walt Rubel with the Las Cruces Sun News.